shelter up there. And some of my friends that are hunters in that area told me that they'd check on that once in a while. They knew where it was. And it was very simple. It was a few rocks piled up on one end and some on the other end. And I found a big slab of rock, and I put that across the top of him as a very primitive altar. But it meant something to me because it was a time of great praise and breakthrough for me. Mm-hmm. And so I left that up on top of the mountain. But I was thinking here about Abraham. When he praised God and believed God, it was accredited to him as righteousness.
That's right.
That credited him as righteousness.
That's
and
right.
He was a praiser of the Most High God.
We may not have altars and stone altars like you build in the mountains, Darren, but in Romans 12:1 it says, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice." So God isn't wanting altars anymore. He's not wanting the sacrifices of the Old Testament.
No.
He's wanting our whole bodies. No. And that's quite a sacrifice.
And I'm not saying you ought to climb to the top of the mountain and build an altar.
No.
If you want to do that, fine. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing super sacred about it.
And there are people that have altars in their home. It
right.
says, when you enter into your closet, shut the door so that you can pray with the Father. And some people actually have little rooms where they have an altar where they can pray, and that's absolutely okay.
And that's fine. And then
yes.
in fact, you should have an altar in your heart. Your mm-hmm. attitude of praise and worship ought to be directed toward the Lord at all times.
That's right.
But here we have Jacob I have loved, Esau I hated. Talks about that in Malachi chapter mm-hmm. 1.
And you know, Jacob wasn't a perfect man, Darren. He did a lot of things that were an affront to God. But God wasn't prejudiced here when he said, "Jacob I have loved," because God is not a partial God. The word says there's no partiality with God. So why did God love Jacob more than Esau? I believe because of the sacrifices of praise. And especially when he left his home and he left his mother after he supplanted the birthright from Esau. And God met him at Bethel. He was sleeping with his head on a rock. And that night God showed him a vision. And he worshiped God there. And he says, "Oh, this certainly is the place of prayer, the place where I've seen God."
And it's interesting. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not mm-hmm. Abraham, Isaac, and Esau.
That's right. And Jacob was the second born, but God gave him favor then.
God gave him favor.
Because he was a praiser.
Tremendous story.
Oh, amen. And you can look these stories up in Genesis. They're such a blessing. And if you have a few moments, look up the story of Abraham and read through 4 or 5 chapters. They're easy to read. And also about Jacob. It'll bless your heart.
You know, you talk about when God met Jacob there, and there was a tremendous interaction between the supernatural and the natural.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob was wrestling with an angel, God's messenger. Am I right? Or do
well,
I have another
this
story?
This was later when he was crossing the Jabbok with his
right.
family. Yes.
Okay.
But there was a ladder that God put up to the heavens in a vision, and angels
were
coming
ascending
up
and descending.
Up and down the ladder. So
yeah,
there was a supernatural thing.
I'm
that
sorry
happened.
For moving that later story up there.
<That's okay. laughs>
But I'll tell you this matter of praise to the Lord is so very, very important. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about David here a little bit later in this message, and we'll bring out some wonderful things about his life too.
You know, as believers, are we to praise God? A lot of believers, Darren, they keep their mouth shut and they do not. They say, "Well, I praise him in my own way." I'm sorry, but there's one way to praise God, and that's and it's basically vocally. We open our mouth and we praise God. And I know it's a hard attitude, but here these definitions of the word are very vocal. They're active words. They're words that you don't sit on and become a couch potato when you praise God. That's not the way you praise the Lord.
And you know, in the world, we see people doing that at ball games and stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
We see it in pictures of rock concerts. And what are they doing? They're throwing their arms up in the air,
mm-hmm.
and they're praising the rock star or the sports figure,
yelling and screaming, and it's tumultuous.
And they're giving them homage and honor and half of their money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And here God is just saying, "Praise me."
God loves a person who is not attached to his personal needs and circumstances, but who is so enthralled and caught up with his Creator that he puts his personal needs behind him to concentrate on the one who created him. That's the perfect praise from God. This is the kind of person God loves, and he answers his prayers. This is the kind of person God answers his prayers. He
you
really
mean
does.
When that person focuses on God, not on his needs?
Yes.
When he's not just dollar motivated all the time.
Well, it says in Deuteronomy 28:47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad or grateful heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you'll serve your enemies. And I believe a lot of Christians today, Darren, are serving their enemies, serving that thing that is not going to bless them because they have not had a grateful heart. They've not been glad and they've not served God with joy.
Well, you know, God talks about, and frequently to have Moses go back and recall what he'd done for them. He brought them out of slavery, brought them through the Red Sea when Pharaoh was chasing them. He fed them and clothed them in the desert. He took them across on dry land, not only the Red Sea, but through the Jordan, mm-hmm. into the Promised Land. But one of the things, when they were getting ready to go into the Promised Land, that torqued God to the absolute max was their complaining.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In fact, they complained and said, oh, wish we were back in Egypt and all the vegetables, the leeks and the garlic, mm-hmm. and our children would have been safe there, and on and on. And I'll tell you, their complaining made God so mad that he said, I want to kill this bunch and start over. And Moses interceded, or God would have.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
God was saying to Moses, let's cut a deal here. Let's kill this bunch and start over. And Moses reminded God of his character. But God was so mad because they were complaining.
Well, they became loathsome,
yes,
to him.
They
it
became
says,
odious
the word
to
says,
him.
Yes, absolutely.
And he said, all right, for every day that the spies were over there and you turned your back on abundance and you turned your back on the dream, and you refuse to praise me, and you refuse to step into the vision and the dream, I'm going to sentence you to 1 day or 1 year,
1 year
in the wilderness for every day the spies were over
That's
there
right.
looking over my promised land that I'd promised to your family mm-hmm. for hundreds of years. I'm ready to, you know, and that's such a powerful thing, Barbara. We need to stop and think about it. When we complain, we better get on our faces or on our knees or on our feet and throw our hands up and start praising God. Because we may be cutting ourselves out of a marvelous inheritance that God has in mind for us.
I agree.
And we need to praise God and thank him for who he is, because I say this many times. You know, I'm looking across here at the studio and I see your day timer there. You know, God doesn't take out his day timer and say, I've got a bad day planned for Barbara.
Absolutely not.
It's good day.
He has a very
and it
best
says, this is
plan.
The day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. Let's praise the Lord for this day.
Mm-hmm. But see, we can open a door out of our complaining, out of our regrets, out of our bitterness, out of our hate, just a total ungratefulness. We can open a door so that it truly says in Deuteronomy 28:47, we will serve our enemies, and that enemy will come in like a flood. And we, because we did not praise, he will cause us to be a complaining and a bitter person.
And you know, God
the
says,
the devil will.
Exactly. And God says just a little later there in Deuteronomy, he says, these are not idle words to you, for they are your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when God says, I'm going to turn you over to your enemies because you're complaining, he means that. So you don't want that to happen.
No.
And what we're really saying is, we believe you can praise God and praise your way right into your inheritance, right into God's
That's
promised
right.
land for you.
That's right. There are prayers. We're going to do some prayers here, and we would encourage you to look up these references. One of my favorite prayers is one of the last prayers of David in 1 Chronicles 29:11, and he says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on the earth is your dominion and your head over all. Ooh, God loves prayers like that. When we pray like that, he is so excited to reward us. And in Hebrews 11:6, Darren, it says, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. This is the way to seek
and
God.
And we can seek him in praise.
Oh, absolutely. This
Let
is
me
the
give
best
you
way.
Verse 12 here, where you're reading there in 1 mm-hmm. Chronicles chapter 29. I'll go ahead. In verse 12, it says, both riches and honor come from thee. Thou
yes.
dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We need
what
to give
prayer.
Thanks to the name of the Lord.
Yes, and if you're saying, I don't know how to pray like that, open your Bible to 1 Chronicles 29:11 and read it. Read it and go over it and over it. I'll tell you, it may be mechanical right now, but your heart is going to begin to say, oh, this is what I love. And if you want to be rich, if you want to have honor, or like you were saying, Darren, a lot of us want recognition on this earth. Where does it come from? It says that in the 12th verse. Could you read that again,
sure.
Darren?
Both riches and honor come from thee.
Meaning, that's right.
Now, this is people talking.
Both riches and honor come from God.
And David is saying that. And, of course, David knew about the principle laid out in Joshua 1:8. Says if you meditate the word day and night, and that means to chew it. Mm-hmm. And I believe partially that means to praise the Lord. But it says both riches and honor come from thee. Thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. That's really an example.